This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. Andrew Bird is a singer, songwriter, violinist, and master whistler. Over a two-decade career, he's created a singular body of work that is literate, beautiful, touching, and at times playful. Bird's new album is called My Finest Work Yet, and it would be hard to argue otherwise. Tift Merritt will be opening for him tomorrow night at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. I caught up with him on the line from Los Angeles recently to talk about the new songs. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning.
We've been listening to Sisyphus, which is a terrific showcase for your whistling. And setting the lyrics aside for the moment, how did you get so good at that?
I've been doing it since I was a kid, and I do it all day long, incessantly. It would drive you nuts if you were hanging out with me. So it's the main way that melodies escape from my head.
So songs come into your head and you whistle them?
Pretty much. And it's a nice way to write sometimes in that it's pretty casual and unconscious, and you just do it while you're doing the dishes or some other mundane thing, and it just kind of comes out. I mean, that being said, there's hours and hours I sit on the couch late at night jeweling away at my songs.
Getting back to Sisyphus, when a Sisyphus finally quits pushing that stone up the hill, what happens?
Well, that's the question. That's sort of and it becomes kind of a moral question. In the song is what happens when your struggles no longer serve you, and what if you do let that rock roll? What are the possible repercussions of that? You know, imagine the rock rolling down, and maybe there's a town down there, and it does some damage. You know.
Well, I let the rock roll on down to the town below. We had a house down there, but I lost it long ago.
On Bloodless, I mean, there's a great groove that starts that song and really pulled me in. But you sing and the poets, they explode like bombs. And it's one of many powerful lines. It doesn't feel like your previous work has been as political as this particular record.
No, not as overtly, not in a way that when the song's over, you get a good sense of what I'm getting at. I had to balance a sense of practicality with trying to speak to as many people as possible, and the language had to be direct but not too explicit, you know what I mean? Poets, they explode like bombs. That could mean a number of things, but I was reading a lot about the Spanish Civil War, and in particular this Dadaist founder, Tristan Zara, who said that in relation to the Spanish Civil War. And it suggests either that poets have actual power. Either that, or he's saying that poets tend to be self-destructive. Could also be true.
They're profiting from your worry. They're selling blanks down at the DMZ. They're banking on the sound and fury. Makes you wonder what it all's got to do with me. Bloodless for now.
The piano is prominent in several songs, including Proxy War. What made you want to push that instrument to the fore?
That was something I deliberately wanted to do with this record. Most of my previous records have been kind of guitar, violin-driven, and I wanted this one to be piano-driven. I just really love these early 60s records of, you know, from Nina Simone to early Herbie Hancock or even Ramsey Lewis, that kind of groovy jazz. I just love that sound, the kind of jazz to gospel sound. It was, I think, was kind of tied up in the, associated with the civil rights era. And I just think it's just a beautiful sound. And finding a pianist that can, which I found in Tyler Chester, one that can play simple and kind of hymn-like, a little bit of church in there. Not too fancy. That's what I really was going for with this whole record.
He don't have to get over her. She don't have to get over him. With all the words preserved forevermore. You don't have to get over her. She don't have to get over you. It's true these two have never met before.
Well, we're back to politics on Fall or Run. who owns the tone deaf angry voices that you sing about here?
I'm talking about the 24-hour news feed, and I just had a very kind of disturbing yet telling conversation with a family member where we were talking about, I was saying, man, what if, you know, what if Trump doesn't concede the next election? You know, what if he stays in office? And he says, where are you getting your information? That's what we thought Obama was going to do. And I'm like, whoa, that had me thinking about, like, what if Trump wasn't actually human, was just sort of an algorithm. I kept thinking about that trope from, like, sci-fi horror movies of, like, the blob, you know, it's feeding on your fear. And it really feels like Trump is just a symptom of something that's greater and more, even more frightening going on. And that's what I'm trying to get at with this record.
You name check J. Edgar Hoover and one of Godzilla's contemporaries on Archipelago, where you sing, our enemies are what makes us whole. As we kind of wrap this whole thing up, is this album your take on protest music?
Yeah, you could say that. I think Archipelago is kind of the thesis of the whole record, and that concept of enemies making us whole. Like, why do we find ourselves in this deepening quicksand of animosity and divisiveness? It's because there's something missing in ourselves, and we're seeking out enemies to fill this void.
Andrew Bird's new record is My Finest Work Yet. You can hear more on WUNCmusic.org on 91.5 HD2. He and his band will be playing at the North Carolina Museum of Art tomorrow night with Tift Merritt. Andrew, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
What if one day we just refuse to play? With no one to hate, they'd be out of a job. You con our script, you just can't walk away. Leave us naked, fleeced, and wrecked with songs. Taking its toll when enemies would make us whole. Listen to me, no more excuses, no more apathy. This ain't no archipelago.